Morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer this morning. All right. Brother Hunter, you want to lead us in prayer? Amen. All right. Y'all in the wrong place. This is going to be weird. All right. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. He coming up here to take my place. Mark chapter 3. Some of my talkers are gone. That means somebody else is going to have to pick up the slack. Marsha. Mark chapter 3. Can anybody tell me where Mark is? Okay, here we go. Don't talk and try to look for something. I can't do two things at once. I was in Psalm. All right. Mark chapter 3. Who knows what we're talking about? Uh-oh. The apostles. I figured somebody would say the end times. But, yeah. Yeah, the apostles. The apostles. Which one? John. Very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, bump your husband and get him to say something next time. John, the Apostle John. A little tag that goes along with John, everybody remembers, right? The Apostle of Love. Love. Now, last time, if you remember, we talked about why do we call him that? Because if you look at young John, honestly, there's not a whole lot of love being shown forth. So let's read here Mark chapter 3, and we read a good bit last week, and we're going to read a good bit this week, I think. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Now, who wants to look up here and not look at their Bible and name them? All right, that's what I thought. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. And Jane, I think Jonathan was ready. He looked at me like, no big deal. Simon, he surnamed Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas. And James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. Now, John chapter 19. I'm going to read this along with our talks with John. John chapter 19. Verse 26. John chapter 19. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, who is that? We believe that's John. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. The Apostle John, the Apostle of Love. Let me get back to my notes here. Last time we talked about some things. Well, let's do a little thing on John real quick. We did it on some of the others. I've been forgetting. So John was the son of, what's his father's name? We just read it. What was his father's name? Zebedee. What was his mother's name? Do not say Mary. What was his mother's name? Salome. That is the correct pronunciation. Very good. All right. What was his brother's name? James. What kind of business did he have? Fishing. Where did he live? Capernaum. or Capernaum. Yep. All right. Quickly. How many books of the Bible did he write? Five. Very good. You name them?
John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John,
there you go. The Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, them are easy, and Revelation. So he authored five books of the Bible. Now, we talk about John being the apostle of love, and he is. It just came later in life. He's kind of like Hunter. When I first met Hunter, Hunter was a roughneck. He's grown. You couldn't hardly hug the man. Now, every once in a while, he'll give you a hug. So I think Hunter's heart is warming to people, and he's getting more compassionate as he gets older. Yes, sir? You want? Well, okay, yeah. I met Hunter Williamson, husband of Morgan, father of Macy. Have you ever tried to hug him? It's like hugging this podium right here. I mean, it's just like, man, that's terrible. But he's getting better. That's the way John was. John, when he was young, he was a fireball. And that's okay. Peter was a fireball too. But because of that, and God will use that. God used that in the life of Peter. Because of that, that strength that he had actually became his weakness a lot of times. And we've looked at some of that already when we looked at James. And we will when we look at John, as we look at John. So this apostle of love is something that he grew into. He didn't start out this way. The word love, or variations, love, loved, loveth, whatever. Listen to this. In the Gospel of John, and I hope I counted right, so you can double check me if you like, but I may be off a little bit. In the Gospel of John, he uses love, or a variation, 51 times. And in his epistles, combined, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 52 times. So he uses the word love more in his epistles than he did in his gospel. In Revelation 6, six times. In case you didn't know and you missed our study, there's not a whole lot of that type of stuff in Revelation. Most of it is, I would say not good. Things happening that I would not call good on this earth. It's working together for good. But so I thought, is that a lot? 51? You think it's a lot or not? Listen to this. So I looked it up in Matthew 14. Then I looked it up in Mark. Who was the preaching notes of Peter? 7. And then I looked it up in Luke and Acts, 15. Who knows who wrote them? And it may have been Jonathan, so you can't answer because we talked about this the other night. Who knows who wrote most of the New Testament? Paul. That would be incorrect. Which is exactly what I did. When I found out, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I set you up. But that's what we all thought, right? If you thought in here, you probably, unless you're Jonathan, because he already knows, probably thought Paul. Now, to quantify, it's by words. So if you go by verses, this is not true. But words. In their writing. So if it wasn't Paul, who was it? It wasn't John. I don't know if anybody said, I didn't hear anybody say that. I'm just saying, since we're talking about John, it's not John. Okay, yeah. Well, she didn't have to point you out. I didn't even hear it. So it's not, oh, did she? Okay, it's not John. Anybody know? You're just blown away that it's not Paul, aren't you? Anybody? Anybody name an author of, of a New Testament book that's not Paul or John? Matthew, Mark. What was the third? Luke. How many books of the Bible did Luke write? I gave you the answer earlier and I didn't mean to. Luke and Acts. Luke authored the book of Acts. The only reason I mention that is because, number one, it's amazing that that word-wise, it's not Paul. Another thing is that you got the guy who wrote the most words in our New Testament, King James Bible. Now, if you look at another version, I can't attest to anything I just said. I don't know. But in the King James Bible, the person that wrote the most words is Luke. He mentions the word love 15 times. Ain't that something? He wrote the majority of the New Testament and he mentions love 15 times when John mentions it 109. So he is the apostle of love. But he didn't start out that way. He started out as a son of thunder. And I don't think we really talked about what that word thunder means there. That son of thunder, it literally means, it comes from the word that means rage. So just like, you know, it says Simon, he's surnamed Peter. So in the Bible, in the New Testament, you're going to see at times when he's referred to Simon. We talked about that when we talked about Peter. There's going to be times when he's referred to as Peter. There's like once or twice he's referred to as Cephas, and we don't have a problem with that. But he also says that James and John, just as he surnamed Simon Peter, he surnamed James and John sons of Boanerges. So just like he referred to Simon as Peter, which is a lot that we have recorded, he referred to James and John as the sons of Boanerges the same way. He surnamed them that. He called them that because they were sons of rage. And we already talked about that. They wanted to call down fire and kill all those Samaritans. And that wasn't a lovely thing to do. But John wanted to do it. Now, you know, you might say, well, they wouldn't accept Jesus Christ. And that's true. They wouldn't accept Jesus into the town and prepare for him as he was going to Jerusalem. And we talked about all that. If you missed it, you got to go back and listen. They wouldn't accept him. So they treated their leader with some disdain. So did that justify him being upset? Well, yeah, but he doesn't have to kill them all. So sometimes the zeal that he and his brother had ended up turning into a weakness. But that's what we see in his early life. Now, last time we talked about a couple of things. Let me find this verse. I think it's in 1 John chapter 3. We talked about John being black and white. Let me get to this verse and I'll read it. 1 John 3. You remember that's the last thing we talked about, and that's pretty much most of what we talked about. John's writings, no gray area, black and white. I'm not going to go back over this. I'm just giving you this I can lead into the next thing. 1 John 3, 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Where's the gray area? John said, if you say you're in the light, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you're in the light, you're saved. John says, if you say you're saved, what does he say? And you hate your brother, guess what? What did John say? He said, you are not. Where's the gray area? Now, we will tend to explain that away. Well, That's what we do with people. And a lot of times that's why people, I believe, don't get under conviction and repent, because we candy coat stuff too much. You have to do truth in love, and that's what we're going to end up talking about with John, giving people truth in love. But sin is still sin. Okay? There's things God hates. It's sin. God hates divorce. Shacking up is sin. It still is, even in 2024 America. God has not changed. Sin is sin. There's a bunch of things besides those two things. I don't know where the other verse is, but maybe 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So he said, everyone that loveth, if you love your neighbor, if you love people, what? You're born of God. What does that mean? It means you're saved. What does the next verse say? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What does that mean? If you don't love people, you are not saved. That's what John says. There is no black and white with John. None. Now, there's a little bit with Paul. John tells us, I don't know where, it must have been in one of his epistles we read. He basically says, if you commit sin, you are not of God. What does that mean? Hey, it don't matter if you like it or not. What does it mean? It means you're lost. So you're telling me if you commit a sin, you're lost? That's not what he said, and that's where I wanted to get to. Now, John knows that believers can commit sin. How do we know this? Anybody, before I tell you? John knows this. How do you know? Okay. Turn to 1 John, and you may be there. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So in one verse, well, let me read another. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, this is what I thought somebody might say. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, who? God, a liar, and his word is not in us. So in one breath, John says, if you sin, you are not born of God. And in the other breath, he says, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So how do you reconcile those two things? Anybody? When he says, if you commit sin, that word is habitual. It's not a single act of sin. It is a habitual lifestyle of sin. So what John is saying is, if you live a lifestyle of sin, then you are not saved. That's what John says. I didn't say it. John said it. He didn't say if you commit a sin, that makes you lose your salvation and you're lost. He said, if you live in continual sin in your life, then you are not saved. But if you are saved and you sin, what? We have an advocate with the Father. And I'm thankful for that. So John, and I don't have this table here. John, he's black and white, but he does know that believers can commit sin. But the one thing about him that's a little bit different from Paul And sometime I'm going to, okay, read about Paul a little bit. John does not belabor that fact. He puts that in there, and it's true. If we commit sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he does not spend a majority of his time talking about that. The majority of his time is spoken in black and white. You sin, you're lost. You don't love your neighbor, you're lost. That's what John says. Most of it's in black and white. But now Paul's a little bit different. Just real quick, if you turn to Romans chapter 7. Now, Paul calls sin, sin too. Don't get me wrong. Now, don't anybody go out of here saying that Jay said, if you sin, you lose your salvation. I did not say that. I said the opposite of that. Okay? Somebody's just half listening. Get me in trouble. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. This is Paul. And this is Paul. This is real Paul. And this is real Jay. Verse 14, Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul said, I'm going to keep reading, but Paul said, what I want to do, I do not do. And what I don't want to do, most of the time, that's what I end up doing. What's the root cause? That's what he said. When that happens, he finds that sin dwelleth in him, in his flesh. And it leads him to believe in himself that there dwells no good thing. He even says, look at the end of verse 18. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I really, really want to do good things, the good. I don't want to do evil. I do not want to sin, but I do. Verse 19, for the good that I would do, no. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You can get tongue-tied in this, by the way. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is not no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Now, what is the inward man? Anybody know? The inward man. That is his spirit. That is his spiritual self. So he says, for I delight, verse 22, in the law of God after the inward man. And if only that were the only part of it. But in verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my members. What is that? It's not his spirit. It's his flesh. So in his spirit, there's one law that wants to do good. In verse 22. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, in my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He basically almost throws up his hands here and says, I want to do good, I can't. I don't want to do bad, I do that. I really want to do it, I can't. What do I do? I'm just wretched and miserable. And then in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul's just honest. He said, in my flesh does sin, but I don't want to. That's the difference in somebody who lives in habitual sin. They want to. They want to. So, John, black and white. Very black and white. Matter of fact, and you just don't think about this about John, because all we think about, and I'm trying to change that a little bit, all we think about him when we think about John is love. That's all we think about, the apostle of love, the apostle of love, the apostle of love. That ain't all he was. It's just not. And there's a lot we can learn from his life by watching how God took him from a man who wanted to kill no telling how many Samaritans to a man that used the word love in his writings 109 times, when Luke, who wrote most of your New Testament, used it 15 times. What a difference in somebody. What made the difference? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And that'll make a difference in us. That's why when you read, I mean, if you read heavy, heavy doses of John, you probably need to throw a little bit of Paul in there. Because last week we were talking about, man, it was, if you sin this and this and this, and then he threw the word love in there one time. Whew, thankful. I'm thankful for that. I need a break. So when you read, just remember that. Now, when you look at John and you look at Paul, those two are not in conflict with each other. They complement each other. So Paul seems to say one thing at times. John seems to say one thing at times, but those things are tied together. That's why people can take a verse and take it out of context and mess up all kind of doctrine. That verse we use in John is a good example. He that committeth sin is not of God. You take that out of there, apart from the rest of John's writings and Paul's writings and the rest of the Bible, you can say, if you sin, you're lost. And that's what people do. And they form denominations based on these things. But we can't do that. The Bible says it's not of any private interpretation. You take it all. Yes, sir. That's right. So he's saying basically the same thing with God. When you think about God, most all people think love, 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 love. And it's clear. John, we read it. The Bible says God is love. We wouldn't even know love if it weren't for God. If he hadn't first loved us, we would not even know what love is. So God is love. But he cares more about your holiness than anything. And he will judge sin. And that's where people get in trouble out in the world. If God is so loving, how could he allow these people to die? How could he allow these wars to happen? How could he allow this and all that? Well, I'm not getting off into that, but you have free will. Choose what you may and live with the consequences. Don't blame it on him. As a parent, you can only do so much. You can have them in church every time the doors are open and drag them to every church event, kicking and screaming. At some point, they're on their own. And you better have done a good job, or you will reap the consequences. But even when I see people that do a great job, and still the kids turn out going astray, I don't understand it. But that's the characteristic of free will. You have free will. Choose what you want. Understand there's a payday coming, one way or the other. There's a heaven, there's a hell, there is no purgatory, one or the other, and when you take your last breath here, the opportunity is over. So make your choice. Right. Yeah. And they can never say, Mom, why are you telling me Yeah, you're right. You're right. We got to prepare them. Yeah, for sure. So, John is black and white. And we're going to get off more into the things the Bible says about John. I wanted to look at this first in his writings and the different themes and characteristics. You lost your buzzer? You can go back there and knock on the door if you want to. Or just go back there and holler. So, just understand that the truths of Paul and the truths of John go together. They don't contradict one another. John is very black and white. I say that over and over. It's true. We're going to get probably next time into his word truth. He uses truth a lot. He's interested in truth. Just tell me the truth. It's kind of, I think about that like different Bible versions. And you can think what you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Some Bible versions are a word-for-word translation. Some are a thought-for-thought translation. I don't want your thoughts. Give me the word, and I'll figure it out for myself. If I'm saved, the Holy Spirit will work that out in me. That's what I want. John is a man of truth. He just won't just give him the truth. Tell him the truth, and he can deal with it. Now, one thing he's very black and white about, and then we got to quit, and none of the other gospel writers, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't hammer the point home that Jesus is God like John does. He uses a phrase, ego eimi, in his writings quite a bit. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. After this, we got to quit. Or after this thought. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 50. Let me see where I want to start reading. 56. John 8:56. All right, this right here is Jesus speaking. Your father Abraham. Now, he's talking to, quote-unquote, the Jews. Okay, that is not a people group. That is the leaders of the Jews of that day. That's who he's talking to. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, that should shock you a little bit. Abraham? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I can't talk about it. And he saw it and was glad. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? That was a conundrum for them, just like it should have been if you had never read that verse before. Abraham saw Jesus? They say, how is that? You're not even 50 years old. What does Jesus say? This is what I want to get to. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. He didn't say I was. He said I am. Why? Well, yeah, because he's God, yeah. There is no time tense with God. There is no past. Our finite minds cannot understand it. I don't even know why I'm telling you, because I can't explain it, and you can't understand it. There is no past. There is no future. There is only present with God. They said, you cannot have seen Abraham. You're not even 50 years old. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Ego eimi. That blew their socks off. They did not like that. Why? If he was just saying he was older than Abraham, what difference does that make? Why would it tear the Pharisees to pieces that he said, ego eimi? Does anybody know?
Jesus saying he was superior, he was
Good, good point. Part of it, probably. They hold Abraham higher than God. I mean, a lot of times it works out that way if you watch their actions. They hold Abraham so high, if you ever said you were better than Abraham, they're going to stone you. So they didn't like that. But ego eimi is what they did not like. I am. If we had time, I'd ask you again, because I want to see if anybody knows, but we don't. We got to go. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God has come to Moses and said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Some of you already know where I'm going. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to get my people out of Egypt. And in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, ego eimi. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ego eimi, I am, hath sent me unto you. That God, the God that these Pharisees knew all about, the God of their fathers that brought them forth out of the land of Israel with mighty wonders and plagues and sustained them, that God is who Jesus said in that verse of John that we were reading, said, I, that's me. That's me. And they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. But John makes no qualms about it. That's just one example. He uses it several times. Jesus is God, black and white, no gray. There's no question. The very first verse of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How do you know what the Word is? It tells you later that he came and dwelt among us. And then he talks about seeing him in his transfiguration. So John's very black and white. So next time, hopefully, we'll get into looking at some of what he says about truth. All right. Let's see. Mr. Jimmy, you want to dismiss us?